Life support is nominal. The oxygen danger indicator level is yellow. Please remember that this is a non-smoking pirate ship.
Hey everybody, welcome to GameIndustry.com's The Gin Lounge. I'm John Breeden, your chief lounge lizard, and your host for this episode of the show. Today we are going to be talking about the Game of the Year nominations. You voted for them, you picked them, so no complaining now. Right, guys? I joke because there's always complaining about the Game of the Year stuff. Although this year, there were less surprises, at least in the nomination phase, than I would have expected. Some years, as you know, we end up with some weird stuff in there because Gin is the only publication that I know of that lets the that totally lets the readers pick everything. So this is up to you guys. But joining me today are two people that I know nominated games and will be voting, and that is William White, Billy, our time waster, and also Neil Sijatovic, our online editor. Welcome to the show today, guys. Glad to be here.
Yep, same.
And I know you guys have really strong opinions on various games and game series, so I'm happy to have you all along as we discuss the nominations. By the way, the nominations are open right now, so anybody can vote. Just go to GameIndustry.com, click on where it says down on editorials, and you can vote right there. There's a big button. You click on the button and you can vote. It's just a bunch of radio buttons at this point, so it's all drop down, so it's very easy to do. So we encourage everybody to cast your vote for your favorite games. All right, let's start with the best adventure game. So on adventure game, we have adventure game of the year. We have five titles that are listed. We have Far Cry 4, Julia Among the Stars, Assassin's Creed Unity, Alien Isolation, and Skylanders Trap Team. Let's go with you, Billy. What do you think about those, and which ones do you think deserve your votes?
See, here's the problem. I didn't do a lot of adventure gaming this year, but if I had to throw it towards a single one, I would say Alien Isolation just for its atmosphere.
Yeah, that one was pretty scary. I was not surprised to see for me, Far Cry 4 in there, because even though that's a shooter, the review of it and everyone I talked to about it, and I played as well, people seem to like the adventure elements of it. Julia Among the Stars is probably the purest of adventure games that's actually on there. That's your more of your traditional one. So I wasn't surprised to see of all the traditional adventure games that came out this year, I'd say Julia Among the Stars was probably one of the most impressive. So I wasn't surprised to see that one there. I was kind of surprised to see Assassin's Creed Unity with all the launch problems and stuff that it had. I'm surprised that.
I didn't expect it. I saw that and I was like, wait a second, people voted for Assassin's Creed Unity? Like, why would you do
maybe
that?
Maybe they came in 2 months after it came out and it was all patched.
I thought
that was way it was supposed to be. Neil, anything on that one, on that category?
I'm definitely going to still throw my vote for Far Cry 4. Especially now that I actually got time to sit down and actually play through the game, it's actually a really, really strong title because of all the modes you can do, how it has the Far Cry 3 takedown, so you start to think in terms of stealth, how should I take all these guys down, and you have to go walk, adventure through the wilderness to hunt so you can get big, better items. I mean, there's just so much gameplay of it, and it's so open because Ubisoft does a great job with Far Cry's open world environment. I think it you can't beat it.
Oh, cool. Good one. All right, well, moving on to the role-playing game category, my favorite category. I love role-playing games. And we have Shadowrun Returns, the Dragonfall module, South Park, The Stick of Truth, Dark Souls 2, Dragon Age Inquisition, and Wasteland 2. For me, bunch of titles that I kind of expected to be there. I wasn't really expecting to see South Park on there, but technically it is a role-playing game. In fact, it's designed kind of to make fun of Dungeons and Dragons and role-playing games. So I guess you have a character and you level up and. It's South Park humor. So, you know, if you like that, then you'll like the game. There was one mode, one battle where I was fighting this kid called the Bard, and the Bard is the Bard in the game. He's the crippled up kid from the game. He's got the crutch and stuff. And, everyone was afraid of him because he could cast magic spells with his music and so you're fighting some of the other kids and he's standing back, I guess buffing them. And his spells are hilarious. He was singing about a maiden and, it's basically like a joke about oral sex, but done in a South Park kind of way. And, it's quite hilarious. That was the only game this year that I actually almost had to stop playing briefly because I was laughing so hard. So good for them being there. However, I don't think they're going to win the category, but I'll let you guys, Neil, what are you thinking is going to take the role playing category this year?
Well, first, let's be honest. We're just amazed to see a South Park game actually be considered good. Anyone remember the abominations from N64?
Yeah, yeah,
those things are bad. For what I see on here, I'm going to lean towards Dragon Age Inquisition. Solid game. And they did a lot of improvements to previous Dragon Ages by putting in the like commander's map where you can pick how you want to do situations that affects the map and how there's more politics to it and they added the strategy aspect into it. Dragon Age is going to get to that point where they can't do anymore and quite have, you know, like they're running out of things that they can actually be the first in, and eventually they're going to outdo themselves.
Interesting point. Billy, what are you thinking?
Well, I think that it's either going to be Dragon Age or Dark Souls that wins. I threw my vote in for Shadowrun Returns. I really liked that one. I picked that up at your suggestion, actually, and it was really freaking good. It wasn't what I was expecting. It had that whole, like, you know, top-down, turn-based strategy RPG deal with a Dungeons & Dragons-type leveling system, almost. It was really, really interesting.
I used to run pen and paper Shadowrun. So I'm a big fan of Shadowrun, and there have been incarnations of Shadowrun. There was like this ridiculous multiplayer, basically like almost like a Quake shooter that came out for Shadowrun. I think it was on the Xbox a while ago. It was just horrible. I mean, horrible in the fact that it didn't represent the game at all. So it was really nice to see Shadowrun Returns and the Dragonfall module where it really does give you the flavor of that cyberpunk type of atmosphere, you know, where you don't know if somebody you're talking to is on the level or if they're planning to stab you in the back, and you know, it's just really cool. I really enjoyed the way they did it. So that one's good. I was actually torn. I think you're right, Billy. I think Dark Souls 2 has a chance to upset the category here because the people that play Dark Souls love Dark Souls. I mean, I don't particularly like Dark Souls, but I know the people that do love that hardcore. You know, I like to play a game, and I like to be the hero. I like to come in and be like, and Dragon Age gave me that, certainly. You know, I like to go in and be like, oh my god, there's an entire army arrayed against me. Luckily, I have this fireball spell. Ha ha, you're all dead. I'm awesome.
I think my problem with Dark Souls always was not the fact that you die a lot, just I don't know why I did not like the controls to it. They felt sluggish and sloppy to me.
Yeah, they weren't super responsive, especially if you were playing a mage, but I mean, I just liked it because for me it was easy. I don't think I died at all in Dragon Age. It was pitifully easy. For me, maybe I don't know if it had a leveling system or not, but Dark Souls certainly is difficult. I mean, I think the easy mode on Dark Souls is like, you know, one of the hardest things you'll ever play. You know, you're walking along, you're like, I'm a really cool character, and then you just get smashed in one hit by some ridiculously huge monster that stepped out of the woods. So, you know,
there's a lot of timing. But I see people like it. Like,
yeah,
you have to, like,
yeah, and that's
sit around and defend and then be like, all right, now's my opportunity. And it's It's very slow combat, honestly. I mean, I like it.
Well,
but
that's
slow.
I was gonna say that's the kind that you like, Billy. That's kind of like the Monster Hunter type of combat, right? Where
it's a lot like that actually. And like I said, I like it. I understand why some people just can't get into it because, I mean, like my gosh, I had my brother-in-law was playing it and he couldn't get out of the tutorial area in the first game. And mm-hmm. I was like, dude, you're such a pansy. And then he starts talking to me later, and he's like, yeah, I got out, and I did all this. And I'm like, oh, sweet. And he's like, yeah, I've got this walkthrough. And I was immediately just like, oh, man, you had to use a walkthrough to get out of the tutorial. Are you serious?
One of my favorite things to do to people is I can leave messages for them. It's fun to go by a ledge and go, you know, chest down below. And when if you get a chest down here, just drop off.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. That's...
Yeah, and, like, people do that all the time. I guess I should mention Wasteland 2, because Wasteland is, like, the classic game. Wasteland's probably the original Wasteland was probably the game that got me into gaming, really. It immediately sucked me in on the IBM PC, like a million years ago, and it was fun. And, you know, and then just crickets. Nothing about it, you know, it was a different time back then where, a successful game didn't immediately warrant 18 sequels, you know, and so it kind of got forgotten. And then the same guys that designed the original, you know, did a Kickstarter and said, hey, we're going to make Wasteland 2. And it was really good. And I played, I'm sheepishly saying I didn't actually finish it because it was too hard. I wasn't used to that. It was the same flavor, I guess, as the original game, but I guess I've become a pansy, like Billy said. You know, it's like when you have these choices and you're like, well, I have to sacrifice one of my party members or I have to let this town burn to the ground. I just don't like that anymore, you know? So it's weird, but it's still a solid game. If any of those win in the category, I would be happy. I would say probably South Park probably has the longest way to go. But all the others are decent titles. Dragon Age will probably take it because I guess that's probably the most popular one. But they're all deserving, so everybody should consider them all. Let's shift gears a little bit and go to Sports Game of the Year. And I wanted to ask you about this one, Neil, because I know you're into sports games. For the last, I'd say 5 or 6 years, the Game of the Year here at GIN, soccer games or driving games have come up on top. Whereas other publications I've seen, you know, usually it's a Madden or an NBA or something like that. What is it about soccer games do you think is attractive to our readers, Neil?
Well, the FIFA Pro Evolution Soccer, PES normally does good with their games as well. But normally FIFA is a strong title. And I mean, what it is there's always innovations. The graphics are always getting better. The players are always getting more realistic. They're always just the way they make the menus are always getting better, easier to operate through. The music is getting better. It doesn't have the peaks and valleys that a Madden or an NBA does, where you have, oh, this game is good, oh, this game is garbage, oh, this game is good, oh, this game is garbage. It's a lot more consistent. And especially if you are here in America, you're Major League Soccer, or if you're over in England and you're Barclays Premier League, it actually has your players. Because that's one of the biggest things is we do have a lot of international readers, so they can play sports games with us, and there's no drop-off. Pro Evolution Soccer, if I remember correctly, does have an issue with some licensing, especially with some of the Eastern European players. So a lot of times, like, the teams were gimped pretty bad in terms of, oh, hey, this guy's not on, this guy's not on, this guy's not on. But I'm throwing my vote for FIFA. I got to tinker with it, and it was a solid game. The music in it was just great. The graphics were amazing, and they really did an amazing job with the goalkeeper realism in this one. But what was also cool is, yeah, you had your basic title, but they have it for free that you can print off a cover for whatever your team is. If you're like me or you're a Columbus Crew guy, hey, I can print out the Columbus Crew cover that has Michael Parkhurst on it and slide it in my game. If you're a Houston Dynamo, oh hey, I'm going down. Print out one with I think it was Giles Barnes. Now I had the Houston Dynamo in the front of my game. Sporting Kansas City. Oh hey, I want Matt Beasler in the front of my game. So they didn't pick just one guy from a team and say, there you go, your new FIFA guy. Each MLS team has one guy they chose that you can print out and use as your game cover.
Oh wow, that's pretty neat. I like that. I will say that Madden and NBA both had strong years this year. So perhaps I guess it comes down to, you know, how many Americans are going to vote versus the international crowd. Who knows? Although I do know there's more Americans that like soccer, despite what the TV ratings would suggest. There are more Americans that like soccer than you might think. And it is a game that you can get into, as far as playing with a video game, and you don't have to really kind of know all the rules and stuff. And it's fun to play. You know, you can pick it up and play it. So, moving on to, strategy titles. Billy, I don't know how many strategy titles you played. I know Neil plays like every one of them. So, Billy, I don't know how much you are into the strategy games. I know you played the Stronghold games though.
Yeah. I played Stronghold. I haven't played all. Crap, I can't use Grey Goo. It came out this year. Dang it.
Yeah.
All right. Remember that one for next year.
Okay. Yeah, Grey Goo. That's right. I'm weaning you along into strategy games, so that's pretty cool. Well, Neil, you've played, I think, most of these. Are any of these stand out as decent titles to you?
I reviewed two of the five. Supreme Ruler Ultimate, you know, Supreme Ruler, I think that's Battle Goat Studios. They always do a good job with, they're always solid games, but, Making History is on here, and Muzzy Lane does an amazing job with the Making History series. I've done World War II. I've done, a lot of them, but this one was a great war, and I compare it a lot to how, Paradox's Hearts of Iron was. And Making History is, I mean, both of them have that you can be pretty much any country you want to be, and to focus more on the political and industrial as opposed to the, militaristic, but it really, these games really, really force you to think and really make it difficult on you because you can't go into the battle and control everything. It's just kind of, well, terrain, your troops' experience, who's leading them. Et cetera. So, I mean, either way, both, either Making History or Supreme Ruler would be good votes.
That's cool. I think that I've played every single one of those games, and I would have to agree with you. I think if it was coming down to Supreme Ruler or Making History, I don't know. It would be a really tough choice for me. I kind of would almost give it to Making History because of the emphasis on World War I, which we don't see that often. I really enjoyed Battlefleet 2 because I'm a Navy combat guy, and I love taking the big battleships out and firing them at other ships. You know, it's really fun when somebody comes up with a little patrol boat and is like, you know, and I've got my battleship and I give them a full broadside and just, you know, destroy them. That's fun.
So what we don't know about John is while he's playing Battlefleet 2, he's also screaming, "You sunk my battleship," while listening to the village people.
Very few people sink my battleship, but that's okay. And I know Battlefleet 2 added submarines this year, which was a big deal, which is cool, and it kind of changes the game play an awful, awful lot. Not that that's an awful thing, it just changes it a lot. And then, of course, Civilization Beyond Earth, which was Sid Meier's return to gaming. Obviously, that's probably going to get a lot of votes. And, people miss the game Alpha Centauri, and EA holds the license to Alpha Centauri, so Sid Meier and his crew over at Firaxis could not make Alpha Centauri 2, which everybody wanted to do, so he said, screw it, I'll make Civilization Beyond Earth, and it'll be Alpha Centauri 2, but not have that name. So, I mean, that was kind of cool. So, and any of those I'd be happy to see win. I mean, in Stronghold Crusader 2, probably the weakest of the five titles, but still worthy if you like, you know, and if you like medieval battles and castles and stuff, that's the one you would pick. Real quick, let's move into, cause we've already talked about atmosphere, the atmosphere, of the ones that are nominated. Billy, what are you thinking on, in terms of atmosphere? Any of those, jump out at you? I know Alien Isolation didn't make it.
that's kind of surprising. My gosh, I don't know. I'm actually kind of disappointed with the list of most engaging atmosphere. I don't even think I'd give a vote on this one.
you are allowed to skip. Neil, what are you thinking? Anything? I know there's a couple on there that you played.
I'm sad because Evil Within didn't make it either. So Billy and I both bummed on this category. I'm going to give it a toss up between Lightning Returns and This War of Mine. This War of Mine is a really, really dark game. It's set in Yugoslavia during a civil war, so it's, if you heard some of the stories from there, you'd realize it's pretty dark. But it forces you to make survival, resource decisions, risk versus reward, try to keep people from committing, your people from committing suicide, protect other refugees, and it starts getting you to worry. You start getting paranoid, and you start just the music and just the way the color and the art's way it's set in. It's just it. There's no happiness in this game at all.
It's been described as kind of a depression simulator.
Yeah. and Lightning Returns. As much as people get to stop listening when I say Final Fantasy 13, Lightning Returns was the only good game in that series. They did an amazing job with it. The way they progressed the city and down the country down to like this one little area. The cities are all like looking kind of run down. Everyone's looking kind of banged up. All the characters are kind of looking a lot more grizzled than they did. It did have that apocalyptic feel to it, but it still managed to keep that Final Fantasy feel to it as well. And that's why I'm glad it at least made this list.
I will go ahead and talk on the three that you didn't talk about. Watch Dogs was plagued with a lot of weird little flaws and stuff, but the atmosphere was cool. The sort of hacking, advanced, you know, city is now under control of a computer, and some hacker is taking control of it. I thought that was interesting in terms of atmosphere. Banner Saga is another one. It's not as depressing as This War of Mine, but it's fairly depressing. And just the beautiful graphics kind of help with the atmosphere there. It's a good game for atmosphere. I will be voting for Thief, because Thief, again, is another game that was really flawed, I suppose, but the atmosphere was beautiful. Sort of this post-gothic. It's always nighttime when you're out in the city. It's always gloomy. You know, there's always cobblestone streets and lamplight and stuff, and I really enjoyed it. So that's what will be getting my vote. But as Neil said, this War of Mine is close. It would be a close second for me. Let's skip over a couple of these, because I think your favorite character is kind of really personal to people. There's good ones there for male character. I would be surprised if Trevor Phillips didn't win the second year in a row for the remastered, GTA 5. He's quite the amazing character. But there are some others on there that people are looking
I'm
at.
I'm sure we'll see Link get votes from all the, Zelda fanboys.
I don't know. There's some other stuff on there. I've heard a big push for Desdin Rowe from Infamous Second Son, so we'll see what happens. I won't be voting for Aiden Pierce from Watch Dogs, because that guy's just a tool. I guess somebody liked him. I did like Claire Lille from Watch Dogs, the female character, even though she was a complete ripoff from the Dragon Tattoo Girl movies. I think Bayonetta will win the female character. I don't know.
I could see it.
Hopefully, yeah. Lightning will give a challenge. I don't see it happening.
It's possible. All right, let's skip over and go to the game of the year things. So I will comment on the PlayStation 4 of those titles. The only one that's actually exclusive to PlayStation 4 was Infamous Second Son. I personally did not like Infamous Second Son, so it was an okay game, but it for me personally, I don't really I'm not really into that, like, skater, you know, graffiti the wall kind of culture. It's just, like, not, it's not something I grew up with, so it doesn't really speak to me that much. I suppose I played Destiny an awful lot this year. I guess so. I mean, I'm trying not to, but, you know, I see the guys with their little beanie hats, and, you know, they're like, oh, this sucks, man. Let's do some graffiti. And I'm like, oh, come on. Yeah. Get a job, kid.
Get off my lawn.
You guys should be joining the military guys that are running the city. Help to make this a better world. It's a career. I would say probably Destiny or Far Cry 4 are the two that I played the most on that list. Xbox One, I'll let you guys comment on that because you guys are the Xbox Oneers. Billy. Oh, Neil, what are you thinking? I mean, I'm looking at these titles, and Xbox One, at least as far as the list, they have more exclusive stuff. So, I mean, there's Call of Duty, which isn't exclusive, but is a really good game. There's Far Cry 4, which is a really good game. And then Titanfall, Sunset Overdrive, and Halo, the Master Chief Collection are all Xbox One exclusives. So,
I'm looking at both Xbox lists, and all of them are underwhelming, to say the least. Honestly, for Xbox One, I only see four games. I don't consider Call of Duty a game. I really don't. honestly, this is Call of Duty Modern Warfare. I'm to that point now where as much as I feel like I'm pulling a hard gosh and completely, like, venting caustic rage, someone asked me if I played a new Call of Duty game. I picked up a Modern Warfare, handed it to him, and said, yeah, we all have. Good. It's same game over and over and over again. I have not yet got a chance to play Titanfall. And I'm not a Halo fan. Honestly, I think even though it's not an exclusive, I'm either going to Far Cry 4 or I'm going to give Titanfall a vote based on just what I've seen. With Xbox 360, this is like the five games that people loved and they dropped off in a month. After a month, people stopped talking about Watch Dogs. Sniper Elite 3, barely anyone spoke about. Destiny was good and it dropped off. Wolfenstein was popular for like a week and no one stopped people to stop talking about it. And Lightning Returns. This is wow. I want to vote Lightning Returns on that, but that even the 360 list is kind of underwhelming.
Good. All right. Well, good to know. Let's go with Billy for the Wii U since he's our Wii U guy, and I think there's some pretty awesome games on that list on the Wii U side.
All you people that don't own Wii U's, congratulations! You missed out on a great year of exclusive titles with your constant complaints that Nintendo is failing and they're not going to be able to revitalize the system. Screw you guys! And they're looking like they're going to have another strong year in 2015. I'm really excited for that. If I had to say, my gosh, they're all so good. Honestly, there's only one of these games that isn't on my shelf, and that's Skylanders.
Skylanders, you're not exactly the target market. Skylanders is super popular among people with kids. The other games, just in case somebody doesn't have the list in front of them, are Super Smash Brothers, Bayonetta 2, Mario Kart 8, and how do you pronounce that first
Hyrule
word?
Warriors.
Hyrule Warriors.
Come on, John.
And God, all really good games, man. Billy, what is your thoughts on this one?
Oh man. Honestly, I think voting-wise, what our general public is, you know, our viewership is going to vote for is going to be either Super Smash Brothers or Mario Kart 8, and I think Smash Brothers is going to pull ahead, and I understand it, because it's going to get my vote. The game took the Smash Brothers formula that we've had for a long time, and really just, it reached this nice level of perfection. It's not quite as hardcore and fast-paced as Melee, but it's not as floaty as Brawl was, and it took out tripping. Thank goodness that was a horrible feature in that game. And it's a really good game. I mean, the single player when you're running through is really good, and almost every mode has been set up so you can co-op through it with a friend now. Amiibos are, gosh, they're like a collector's item now. They're not just a little thing you go out and buy and play. They're just a really amazing thing, and the AI in them, I mean, I've got a couple of Amiibos, and I've trained them up, and they're really challenging. I mean, sometimes I lose. It's just one of those things where, you know, you get to train it, and it starts fighting like you, and you can see that, and then you get beat by your own style because it did it better, and that's strangely satisfying. And yeah, I know, it's like I trained this little protege piece of plastic up so it could defeat me, and now I'm happy, yay. But, and the online mode was, it's a lot better. And they added 8-man brawls, which, oh my gosh, I've done some. And while it gets really, really hectic, it can also be really, really fun. So yeah, I think Super Smash Bros. Is just the best entry on this list.
Well, you've convinced me. I really thought you would go with Hyrule Warriors, because I read your review of that one. You seemed you're really impressed with it. Although you also like Bayonetta and Mario Kart,
I mean,
so.
If I had to vote on it, I'd go with Hyrule Warriors as well. I mean, that's because I'm a Dynasty Warriors fan.
And it is a very good, like, mesh of the series when it comes to, it has those Legend of Zelda elements to it where you have to, you know, use special items to defeat bosses. And there's a lot of just little things like that. But, yeah, it really is. Like, just, you know, Dynasty Warrior fans should be playing this game just to experience a good game in the Warrior series.
Gotcha. Oh, cool. Well, then, I guess final question, guys. Final question. I actually do have one this week. Game of the year can be anything on any platform. We'll start with you, Neil. What would be your choice for the overall best game that came out in 2014?
That's a difficult one. It really is. Part of me wants to say This War of Mine. Part of me wants to say Evil Within because they did such a good job with that game. And part of me even wants to say Lightning Returns. But when it comes down to it, based off of gameplay, graphics, audio, pretty much just playtime, the entire spectrum, I'm going to give my one vote, my one Game of the Year vote to Far Cry 4.
Oh, wow. Surprising. Okay.
And what is kind of, and Ubisoft decided to do something else fun with it. Like when you first start out with the opening thing and you get kidnapped and you wake up and you get the bag taken off your head in this guy's mansion and he finds out this one guy's texting for help. He picks up his phone, calls someone, and said, after they dragged the guy off, says, you know, I'll be back in about 10 minutes. And if you wait in that room for about 10 to 15 minutes, he comes back and the game ends. This is the alternate ending.
Really?
Leave it to Ubisoft.
So if you actually listen to him and wait, the game will end and you don't get to play anything.
Yeah, so you get an achievement. You see you two walking off, you're off shooting guns or something like that, but you get an achievement for it.
Oh, wow. Interesting. And then, but it does encourage you, because that's what I did. I was like, I got to get the F out of here. You know, he's off torturing somebody in another room.
I bolted. I run like I stole something.
Awesome. Billy, what do you think? What's your trick for Game of the Year?
My vote, it's not going to win. I'll tell you that right now. It's my vote. It's not on any of these lists. And it's going to be probably a little bit surprising to people. My vote goes to Shovel Knight because, my gosh, that game was amazing. I mean, we talk about, like, you know, we've reached this era where, you know, graphics are what everyone talks about, which I could do a whole podcast about how I hate that that's what gaming culture has turned into anymore.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's this game that it looks like an NES one, an NES game, and so much so that whenever the creators, Yacht Club Games, made it, they actually made it so that it would, you know, it runs off of an NES palette. There are like a couple slight exceptions, but it's basically limited to an NES palette, and the music is actually done in the same formatting that you could take it and put it on an NES cartridge and play it. It's a true throwback to the NES era, and it's so, so good. The gameplay, everything about it. I sat down whenever I got it and played through the story 7-8 hours my first playthrough, doing a whole lot of the extra stuff, and just played through it immediately, just, you know, one sitting. And then I was like, oh, that was really good. I'm going to start again. And I immediately started on hard mode and started playing through the game again. I've played through it several times since it's come out, to the point Aaliyah has actually complained. You know, she's like, would you play something else already? It gets boring seeing this over and over again. But it's,
wow,
it's amazing.
Okay, well, cool. Well, you know, feel free to vote for it. I mean, like you say, I don't know what chance it has, but cool. It looks neat. And that's that was on the PC, right? That was
PC, Wii U, and 3DS is what it came out for.
Okay, so I could actually give it a try. I mean, based on that recommendation, I may give it a try. It sounds fun. So, all right. Well, cool. So everybody who's listening right now, you can vote too. You know, it's not our opinions. Our opinions count for, you know, 0.001% of the overall vote or whatever. So just go to GameIndustry.com. Down on in the lower left, you'll see under editorials, you'll see the button for the nominations, and then you click on that, and then just give us your opinion, and the best game wins. So thank you, William. Thank you, Neil, for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Glad.
Hopefully your opinions will help influence somewhat. Who knows? If Shovel Knight takes it, Billy, you can claim that as a victory. So we're also on Facebook, Pinterest, Google+, and of course we're tweeting and so forth. So join us in all those places, but we're always right here at GameIndustry.com. Good luck to the games of the year. May the best games win. Until then, I'm John Breeden, and I'll see you right here next time at GameIndustry.com's The Gin Lounge. We'll be right back.